we present John Nettles as Captain Reynolds and Adjoa Ando as Ibanda in a new play by John Fletcher. Contraband.
Best years of my life. Gone. On the very edge of an ocean where the headlands fall into the sea, trying to make a decision.
Sergeant! Arthur? Time? Trooper Burroughs heard 10 strike in the church clock.
Should have been here 3 hours ago.
What shall we do, Captain?
Tell the men to mount, Sergeant. Damn orders, we're going down on that beach.
Sir! Mind up! I'm moving off!
Captain Tom Reynolds, in command of a small troop of Somerset Hussars, charged with patrolling the coast from Portishead to Bridgewater and intercepting all contraband smuggled ashore between those two points. Out to sea, only 2 miles off, a West Indiaman and 2 barks out of Bordeaux, any one of which could have been running contraband ashore all night, with, thanks to orders, only a handful of coast guards to stop them. We ride along the beach. Nothing but occasional beachcombers, shell fishermen.
Captain! Look! Up ahead! The Coast Guard!
Through the grey sea mist, a single figure pressed against an upturned skiff. He cowers as our scarlet uniforms approach.
Lukens. Lukens! What's the matter with him? Shock! Get that brandy in my saddlebags.
Here.
Lukens. Come on, drink some. Tell us slowly. What?
Smith, Captain.
Smith?
Smith and his gang jumped us. Marched us down here onto the beach.
More brandy.
Separated us. Left me here with a guard. The other 6, they rode out to sea. We're gone 2 hours. When they came back.
Yes?
Well, none of our lads was with them. Smith said I'd been spared to tell you the story.
The deep stone shelf. Quick, get the skiff in the water.
Pull.
Deep stone shelf. A vast rock under the waves. Half a mile out. Ancient and wicked.
Pull!
Stop rowing, men. We're about over here now.
15 fathoms down, this great shelf under which smugglers sink chains of brandy barrels till the coast is clear. Then they float them to the surface and smuggle them inland.
There'll be a marker boy somewhere.
Look, it's right here.
Cut the tie rope. Bring all the barrels straight to the surface.
Right, Captain.
Yeah.
There's one.
There's another.
Oh, my God.
Sweet Jesus.
A whole line of barrels shoot to the surface. And to each is tied the white body of a coast guard, skin leached white by the cold salt water.
Gather them in, boys. Gather them into our boat. We'll take them home to their mothers.
A pile of awkward white bodies on the beach. Know each one. Grew up with them. Played on the same village greens. Had our Christian souls baptized in the same churches.
Now, lads, we know where we're going. That's the gallop.
Come on.
Hobaday Smith. 10 years in the slave trade. Now the greatest smuggler in all England. Why did my orders forbid me to go on that beach? Why?
There, Captain. Obaday Smith. At all times, troopers, you will have your swords drawn, pistols at the ready. We search the whole place, but no reprisals. Understand? No reprisals.
An aging, dark manor house, hid in a narrow valley. A great black crack that no one has repaired, splitting it from roof to root.
Savage dogs. Even more savage children. Attackers through the cobweb house.
But no sign of Smith and his men. Dark passageways. Great wooden staircases. All about the strange impedimenta and paraphernalia of Smith's voyages about the globe. Spears from Madagascar. Heads from the Indies. Statues and carvings from Sumatra. His proud library filled with huge and dusty tomes. The signs of a great mind torn in two.
Captain? Something in the cellar.
Right. A vault piled high with ancient barrels, empty chests. A circle of soldiers lit only by torches, lever at a flagstone.
Something under here, Captain. Sounds hollow. Earth's been disturbed.
Right. Let's go.
Rest of you help. There, Captain.
Steps leading down into darkness. All lean closer, lowering our torches to see deeper. Then, from out of that profoundest dark, a pit, rise two white, unblinking eyes, staring direct, unwavering, into mine. As from that darkness arises step by step, back unbending, head high, skirt beaded, ankles feathered, sword to one side, spear to the other, a great black African warrioress. I take a step back.
You are the soldier? The warrior?
I'm Captain Reynolds, 5th Somerset Hussars.
Captain! Watch out!
This is for you.
It's all right, gentlemen. She's offering me her sword. Surrendering. Thank you. Who are you?
But her interest has passed. Answer from that stone black face comes there none.
Captain! Sergeant! Smith and his gang's been sighted. Riding the Ridgeway at full gallop.
Ridgeway? To London.
Come on.
We'll have him before he reaches Newbury.
Captain! What will we do with this lady?
You won't tell us who you are? Very well. Trooper, arrest her as a runaway slave. We'll take her with us.
Right, Captain.
I hope you can ride.
Sergeant. Sir? Ride post to Bristol. Speak urgently to Colonel Roberts. You have to give us written permission to leave Somerset. Meet us tonight at the Bear Inn in Frome, the last time before the border.
You think Smith's going to London?
I can smell him.
Cherry red uniforms. The troop rides over the Mendips, following the Ridgeway to Frome. From every beggar and vagrant, we hear news of Smith. And beside us, head high, ramrod straight back, rides our African, half naked, in beads and feathers.
No sign of the sergeant, Trooper?
No, Captain.
Horses watered and fed?
Sir?
Take your supper. Be ready to move at a moment's notice.
Yes, sir.
Senior Hobaday Smith does not have to await the permission of his commanding officer to pass over from Somerset into Wiltshire. He doesn't need scraps of paper to do this, that, or anything. Senior Smith can do what he damn well wants. Come on, Sergeant, come on!
What in God's... African lady, Captain. Climbed out of her bedroom window. On the roof.
Her whole body festooned with bones and beads and feathers. Face painted violent white. Standing at the very peak of the roof, staring upward, caterwauling the stars. Clamber over the tiles, among ancient chimneys. I reach her. The town lies beneath us.
Excuse me! Stop singing, please!
I am finished.
What on earth are you doing?
Speaking to my gods. Inquiring how they are. It is a long time since I've been able to talk with them. In your strange sky, some of my stars, my gods, have disappeared. There are new ones. What is that one?
Aries.
That?
Pisces.
Which is yours?
Mine.
You are a soldier. You spend long nights alone among the stars. Which is your star?
There. Perseus.
Flickering. All alone in liquid black night.
That's mine.
Cassiopeia.
They're linked, yours and mine. But yours has the lowlier station.
Indeed. Captain! Captain!
Your sergeant, down below.
Oh. He sent this. Colonel Roberts, our commanding officer, wrote these orders.
Before my very eyes.
You are hereby charged to cease. Cease your pursuit of the smuggler Smith and his men. You told him about the Coast Guards, their murder?
Fully.
You are ordered forthwith to accompany the African lady, the Queen... The Queen Ibanda?
Yes, Captain. The Queen Ibanda. Queen of the tribe of Thuza.
Providing her all comfort and protection on her journey to London to Lady Spenswick's house in the Strand. These, under our sovereign George's Rex, are your orders. The 9th day of May, 1725. Orders be damned!
Those are your orders, Captain. I will retire to my room. We will proceed in the morning. Good night.
I am damned. What is going on, Sergeant?
Oh, I don't know, sir.
First, we are not allowed. We have specific orders not to go on Western Beach all night. Result? Bloody murder. Now we are forbidden to pursue smugglers, common criminals. Instead, we have this dalliance that's escorting this queen up to London. Anyone else in his office as Colonel Roberts gave you these orders?
No, sir, there was... Oh.
What?
Well, just before he wrote them, he slipped out. I saw him through a window, speaking with this tall man, a captain, arguing, passionate. Asked the guard who this captain was. Oh, he said, a Captain McKendrick, ridden down post from London on some business or other. Then this McKendrick marched off, and Colonel Roberts come back in.
Captain McKendrick. McKendrick.
I know him. All across Europe, when we were fighting under Marlborough, at Oudenarde, Malplaquet, Blenheim, I remember a staff officer slipping in and out of our camp, always rumored to be crossing enemy lines. McKendrick. What is this business in which we are caught? Come morning, our procession sets off through the grey, wet vale of Westbury. Country people stare and gawp at our straight-backed, high-headed queen. Smith and his men are far, far ahead of us.
This is good fat grazing, Captain. How much milk do your cows yield?
I am not a farmer.
Of course, but I would like an answer.
Where did you learn such good English, Queen?
Language is my trade. As Queen, every visitor to my land, I must speak with, understand well enough to be sure he is not cheating me or my people. I speak 15 different languages. This farm we pass,
How many head of cattle would the farmer own?
40, 50 head.
And a big farm?
100, 200.
What of your great lords?
2,000, 3,000, perhaps.
And your greatest lord?
A king?
No, your prime minister, Sir Robert Walpole.
No one knows precisely how much land he owns.
Estimate.
Why are you here? What are you doing in England?
His wealth, Captain. How many cattle does Sir Robert own?
Who knows? More cattle than there are stars in the sky. How many cattle do you own, Queen?
None. No one owns anything in my kingdom. All goods are held in common.
We climb out of the Vale of Westbury, up the sides of the whale-backed Wiltshire Downs. Rain and wind batter down. Clouds wind and twine all about us as we start to crawl up over the great white desert of the Westbury Horse. Our queen, half naked, stands in her stirrups, eyes wide, drinking in the wildness.
It is strange, is it not, Captain, that a cold, wet country such as this can produce so much wealth, so much power.
We are just passing over the eye of the creature. She raises her spear, and at that precise second, a vault shoots up through banks of towering clouds, and down from God's blue infinity pour beams of golden sunlight, bathing our queen, making each bone and bead and precious stone upon her bare flesh stand out resplendent. Her horse stands unmoving upon the great eye. She stands unmoving in its stirrups. Her eye watching mine.
It must be a terrible thing to be a subject in this world, to understand not the least particle of what is happening to you, to be utterly without power.
I do. I understand what is happening to me. I am a captain in the king's army. I obey orders.
And who gives you those orders? Who, amid all these starry constellations, gives you orders?
Captain!
Trooper!
Horseman on the horizon.
Hobbiday Smith?
No. Tall man on a horse. Two companions.
McKendrick.
Fitted us through glasses, then rode on. So they're shadowing us.
Keep an eye out for them.
Yes, Captain.
Right on.
High among the heavens, the Wiltshire Downs rolling before us. We pass out into their entrance. Tiny scarlet ships in an immense ocean of rising, falling grass. Occasional beggars, vagrants. No one lives, works here. A desert of heath and rough grass. Except at one crossroads.
What is this? What are they?
Our dead. Dead of England.
Why hung up? Are they sacrifices to your gods?
These are our gallows, hung with the fruit of last month's assizes. 15 men, 6 women, 4 young children. They broke the laws of God Walpole.
Ah, Sir Robert Walpole. Tell me about him.
In his little parliament in London, he passes laws. 274 separate laws, for the breaking of which you hang. For stealing a single head of corn, a pot of peas or beans. If you steal a rake or hoe or spade or shovel, put on a woman's dress, black your face with coal dust. Then, and for some 250 more offences, you hang. Like this 10-year-old boy.
Captain, a soldier should not show emotion.
And how many of your subjects do you dispose of, Queen Thunder?
We Tozans do not do things as you do them in this country.
How many?
We do not have property, so you cannot kill people for stealing it.
Why do you kill them, then?
The gods demand it.
Ah,
It is a great honor.
I'm sure.
There are times of great importance, delicacy. The world is in balance. It is necessary to edge it one way, edge it another.
So?
All men, all the young men in my tribe, volunteer to pass over, pass down into the earth, into that other world, and there meet our ancestors. Plead with them to right the balance, restore soft rain, plenteous crops, happy singing children. This young child, Captain, at the end of this rope, was he ever happy? Did he ever sing?
Evening. In the shades of darkness, we slip down off the high downs into a woody vale, approach a great white country mansion.
The residence of my Lord Shelbourne.
Lord Shelbourne?
We rest here the night. Sergeant!
Captain.
Place a picket round the house. Any sightings of horsemen, and I want to hear.
Yes, Captain. Hello, boy.
I escort Queen Evander to the front entrance of the mansion.
A child's laughter.
Inside, such merriment. A dozen children reeling, swirling, playing blind man's buff. Then Queen Evander steps before them. Instant terror. Except the child in the blindfold, it feels its way slowly, inevitably towards her, reaches out, puzzled, feels her arms, her neck, her face, removes its blindfold, looks at her, looks at me.
Uncle Tom!
Jack!
Who's this lady?
Queen Evander from Africa.
Queen Evander? My mother should be here any moment. She's attending to business in the kitchen.
Slowly, the other children emerge. Tread carefully towards this great dark figure. Start to touch. Pull at her beads.
Tom!
Lady Emma.
This is a surprise.
May I introduce you? Lady Anna, Queen Evander from Africa. Queen Evander, Lady Anna Shelbourne.
Delighted, Lady Shelbourne.
I'm sorry we arrived like this. I'm escorting Queen Evander to London, my troop and I.
They're outside. I'll see they're properly quartered, fed. And you and Queen Evander will, of course, be our guests tonight.
Thank you, Lady Shelbourne.
Come over to the fire. Warm yourselves. Now, children, carry on playing, but more quietly. Understood? And Jack,
Mother?
You play with them.
Oh, Mother, I want to talk with Uncle Tom and Queen Evander.
Jack, look after the children. You're the eldest. You have responsibilities. You can talk with Uncle Tom later.
Yes, Mother.
Damn me. Walk into my own sitting room. What do I see? Sit on my own sofa in front of my own fire. A full-blown African lady in all her glory. How do you do, madam?
Queen Evander, my husband, Lord Shelbourne.
Lord Shelbourne. Oh,
devilish pleased to meet you, my dear. Tom?
Yes?
Your first time in England, my dear?
It is.
Wonderful place, Africa. Been there myself.
Indeed.
In my younger, more doggish days. Fever in the blood.
James?
Yes?
Why don't you show Queen Evander around the house?
Oh. Want to come, my dear?
Yes. How are you, Tom?
Fine. Riding my horse, wearing out the king's saddle leather. Occasionally even arresting a smuggler. You?
The children. What do you think of the children?
Strong. Upright as oaks.
And young Jack?
Fearless. Be proud to call him my son.
He is your son, Tom. In spirit, if not in flesh.
Then I am proud of him.
Every day, Tom, I go to the chapel. Pray. pray and pray. Jesus is my Savior. He is full of love.
And under a silk cushion, two hands touch. Two souls climb and wreathe and twine like smoke about each other. We sit unseeing as children play all about us.
My great-grandfather, the Lord Henry of Sherborne, in full battle armor.
Looked a most fearsome warrior.
He was.
These paintings are your ancestors.
I was in Africa, Queen Evander. Learned great respect for African people.
Why were you there?
In pursuit of a business venture. I, a Tory, thought why should the tiresome Whigs have the great adventures, the great profits, go off around the world, set up vast empires of trade and commerce, do a bit myself. Hired a boat, took beads and glass, entered the interior of Africa. Mm-hmm. Believe me, Queen Amanda, no one has a deeper feeling for the majesty, the innate superiority of African peoples. Haven't you been here in England, seen most of the pale, creeping creatures that pass for Englishmen, English women? You Africans walk like gods. I was with a tribe called Tozans. You know them?
Tozans? No. Never heard of them.
Queen Evander, when you're in London, might I come visit you?
Perhaps, Lord Sherborne. Perhaps.
Next morning, Lady Anna prays in her chapel. We climb back onto the ridgeway.
Tell me the truth.
Truth?
About your and Lady Shelbourne's love. Lord Shelbourne might not have noticed it. I did.
There is no love between Lady Anna and me.
I do not intend to harm you. Your secret is safe, I swear. Just tell me.
Oh. Swear?
Swear.
I was a young officer. She, beautiful, beautiful daughter. We met. I'll never forget.
Yes?
How her physical beauty was but a pale reflection of the beauty, spirit, charity within. Her parents, a grand family, opposed our match. We persisted.
Then?
War. I was called abroad. Blenheim, Malplaquet, Oudenarde. A rottenness within me.
You were not constant.
An indolence, a love of hurting.
Soldiers on campaign are strange.
When at last I returned, her parents had won. Lord Shelbourne. I realized what I lost. She already knew. She is a good wife. Most virtuous. Faithful. I would not wish her otherwise. Dedicates herself to running her estates, raising children.
Most noble children. And you?
Busy myself about the trade of soldiering, protect the weak, defend the innocent.
Back home in Africa, I am not a queen. I am a god.
Pardon?
A god. I can mingle with humans. I am not of them.
You, a god.
Your story moved me. As a god, the goddess, those warriors, those young men who are to die, go down into the belly of the earth, fight for her fruitfulness, spend their last night of life with me, in my bed. The only visitors I'm ever permitted to receive. That young flesh,
half enjoy that it has been chosen, half fearful and sweaty. Eyes darting here and there at what is to come. That is my sole, my only knowledge of human love. Every day I look out, see herdsmen driving their cattle, wives bearing their pitchers, and know that that night they lie down beside each other, alongside long familiar flesh, and fall into deep, deep sleep. I, an immortal, feel their mortality. I feel your mortality.
A cloud of smoke from a nearby coppice. A sudden pain in my chest. I tumble from my horse.
Gunman! In that wood! After him! Come on!
Are you hurt?
Goddess, where is the better what?
You are hurt? In the chest? Why do you laugh?
It pays to take the king's shilling. They load you down with so much gold and gallimaufry. The bullet spreads clean off.
He escaped, the gunman. A great tall man, sir, had a horse tethered in the trees.
Help you up, Captain?
I can get up fine, sir.
I think London knows we're coming.
We ride. Rise up on a great hill. Look down. Beneath us, like some vast, ancient, vile disease, lies London.
What is it?
Power, Queen Abanda. The greatest concentration of power on earth.
There are so many.
The poor.
Swarming in the streets, festering in hovels, erupting in violence, robbery and riot. Doxies, morts, scar-faced cribbers, poxy jarkmen, swaddlers, hucksters.
I have never seen so many.
And floating above all like gods, with footmen and lackeys and stout flankmen protecting their carriages, the rich. Crowds stare and paw at our queen. Unnoticing, she rides on.
All these bodies lying in the streets.
Gin drinkers. Halfpenny, drunk. A penny, dead drunk. A penny, halfpenny, dead drunk, and straw to lie on. These unfortunates couldn't afford the straw.
Gin?
The father and mother of all misery and degradation you'll witness in this capital. An addiction, drug, smuggled into this country from Holland. The rich, in public with great morality, denounce it. Pass swinging laws against it. Employ me to stop its importation.
And in private?
Welcome it. Every poor man and woman stupid out of their brains won't be planning the wealthy's overthrow.
Queen Abanda.
Lady Spanswick.
Welcome to London. I'm so glad to meet you.
Lady Spanswick, Captain Reynolds, my escort to London.
Captain Reynolds, your quarters are downstairs.
Quarters? Lady Spanswick, I assure you.
I have your Adjutant General's permission for you to be billeted here and wear more appropriate uniform. Here are your orders. Your troop will be on duty in my and Queen Abanda's presence all the time she is in London.
What?
These uniforms are for us, Sarge.
Get them on, Vickers.
Pantaloons and plumage. Well, Jack Prentice, George Bag, Henry Starton lie dead on that beach.
Into them, or you'll both be on target.
Sergeant.
Captain.
A word.
Sir.
Down.
I apologize for these orders. Even more for these uniforms.
Sir.
Yeah?
It could work for the good.
How?
Hobart H. Smith is in London. I have a cousin who works in trade, knows the city, who drinks where. Now, we'll be in these uniforms all day, but at night...
Will the men agree?
We all have friends on that beach.
Captain!
Figures!
That man on the downs, the tall man, he's just been upstairs talking with Queen Abanda.
What? The man who tried to kill me was in here, in this very room, talking to you.
Yes.
You didn't try to stop, apprehend him in any way?
Why should I?
What did he say?
That's none of your business.
What did he say, I said?
That is none of your business, I said.
Listen, first I find you hidden in the home of the most notorious smuggler. Now you associate with the man trying to kill me. Sergeant.
Captain.
Withdraw the guard. Get yourself out of these ridiculous uniforms.
Right, Captain.
Captain!
Time I started asking a few questions.
McKendrick. McKendrick. We have no such man in the army, Captain.
You do, Major.
Of course we don't. Does the British Army employ officers to shoot other officers?
I demand to see the Adjutant General.
There's no chance.
Why?
General Saunders is an extremely busy man.
Does he know what's happening in his army?
Captain.
Look, Major, I am deliberately ordered by senior officers to keep off the beach. 6 Coast Guards are murdered. I apprehend the felon in the probable murderer's home, and instead of arresting her, I'm ordered to escort her to London. Finally, a captain in this very army tries to shoot me, a fellow officer, then consorts with this felon I'm meant to be guarding. What is going on?
Control yourself.
Major Francis, you and I both face the French of Malplaquet. Old warriors do not lie to each other.
I'll tell you, Captain, what I told you at Malplaquet. Obey orders, steady the ranks, listen for your next command. I'll also tell you, this is London. Anything is possible. Watch your back.
Thank you, Major. Lady Spanswick's great reception to welcome Queen Evander. We toy soldiers stand on guard. Our queen stands alone, naked beneath her beads and feathers, before a sea of fops, boobies and speculators, jugglers of vast financial fortunes on the London market, ogling and fingering her like so much meat. She answers only with raised eyebrow, dismissive gesture. Somewhere within me wells up.
Captain. Sergeant?
My cousin.
Yes?
Knows where some of Smith's men drink.
Excellent. Queen Evander.
Captain.
We're off duty now. Troopers Reese and Penhaligon take over.
You're leaving?
Indeed.
Farewell.
And for 1 second, I sensed the most awful human fear. I leave her alone in her sea of wolves.
Queen Evander.
Lord Shelbourne.
How are you, madame?
Most well. And you?
Much better for seeing you. Queen Evander. I am most deeply, most madly, most desperately in love with you.
In love?
In love.
Lord Shelbourne.
Queen Evander.
We are in company.
King's Head Tavern. Dark men, swaggers, coney catchers, crib men.
3 Englishmen, every one.
By the wall, see? Scafford, Royal Dexter. Doxies on them like fleas. How do we get them out of here? To question them. We go out. You two come back in. Announce yourselves loudly as excise officers. They stampede out the back. I bag the hindmost.
That is that shifty-eyed little rodent Roy.
No! No! Don't move! Unless you want your throat cut.
Back, Tim.
You were right. Royal was the last rat out.
Royal! You worst bastard!
What do you want?
One guess. You were on Western Beach 3 nights ago.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't.
6 men.
6 of our men. I wasn't there, I tell you. I wasn't there.
I believe you.
You believe me? He believes me.
I'll believe you if you tell me one thing. Where's Smith? Where's Holiday Smith? I'll tell you that.
Yes, you can. He'll spit my throat.
No, all 3 of you ran out of the back of this tavern, separated in the rush, came back your own way. He'll never know you spoke with us.
No.
Yes. No. Or is a rope around your neck and air under your toes?
So, everyone from your grand reception has gone home.
The last went half an hour ago. Lady Swanswick, all the servants, gone to bed.
It was a great success?
It is said to be a great success, yes.
London doesn't have a full-blooded African queen to feed off every day.
And you, Captain, your evening. Good hunting?
Excellent. How many fine fat lords did you bag?
Great lords are most attentive.
Doubtless you'll be meeting them more discreetly over the next few days.
Captain, you are a soldier. People pay you money, you kill for them. Do not lecture me on morality.
As a goddess, of course, you are above morality.
Lord Shelbourne will be visiting me here tomorrow night. Privately.
Shelbourne?
You have any objection?
You, a goddess, with that. Of course there is nothing I object to.
One might think you were jealous.
I must be honest.
Never admit. Never be honest in London.
When I left you this evening, alone amongst those savages, for one second I felt...
Yes?
Desertion. A betrayal of you. But then I thought...
Yes?
You are a goddess. All these monsters, cripples around you are mere mortals. No danger to you.
You're right. They have no power over me.
You are here of your own devious, corrupted will. Your own actions have done nothing but betray me to mine enemies. So, I shrugged my shoulders, went my ways.
Have we finished?
I think we have finished.
A lovely view from this window. Dawn over London.
A few seconds of innocence.
A million souls asleep. At peace. But overhead, underneath, all around, encircling it with invisible chains. Hidden powers and forces and controls. Golden chains of money winding half round the world, forcing this decision or that decision. Military levers and orders and commands, causing uprisings here, revolutions there, slaughters elsewhere. Political decisions, diplomatic decisions, economic necessities, all invisible, unseen, yet cursing the whole world.
It's almost godlike.
No, Captain Reynolds. It is never godlike.
Orbiday Smith's London house.
Just as his faithful servant described it.
What do we do now, Captain? Wait. See who crawls forth from King Wren's castle.
Lady Swanswick.
Yes, my dear. Tonight Lord Shelbourne pays me a visit.
Discretion, Queen Evander, discretion. I have a game of whist I must play at Lady Spennington's. I won't be home all night.
And Captain Reynolds' guard. He has already gone. Perhaps you could arrange for the rest to be away.
Look, ten are coming out the front door.
Smith's in the middle.
Ten of them? We're only three.
For the moment, we follow. They're on foot. We won't be going far. We'll find out who Mr. Smith's London friends are.
Queen Evander.
Lord Shelbourne.
You are beautiful.
Lord Shelbourne, would you make love to me on the street? Come in.
It's dark in here.
All the servants have been night off. I sent the soldiers away.
Discretion. Discretion and darkness. Let me kiss you.
Come upstairs, Beth. Oh.
Who's coming?
Outside that new house.
Talking to the guards. Smith will be negotiating entrance.
He's going in.
The man's staying outside on guard.
You two, wait here.
Where are you going?
Right at the back of the house. Find which particular gentleman Holiday Smith knows in London.
All right, Captain.
You two, stay here. That's an order.
I edge along the backyard wall. At the back door, a maid and groom bill and coo in the balmy air. He chucking her beneath the chin. She swinging her sweet young head back and forth in Mrs. Kisses. Love. At last, an order from within. She ducks inside. He preens off into the night. Before anyone remembers to shut the door, I'm in. A large house, warren of passageways and corridors, a bustle with servants, waiters, footmen. I dodge from shadow to shadow. A tramp of boots. Soldiers stationed here somewhere. Gradually working my way towards the front, the main reception rooms and chambers of the owner.
Kiss me.
Lord Shelbourne.
A kiss on those beautiful lips.
Lord Shelbourne, more wine?
Oh, nice cool wine.
Tell me about your time in Africa. About the, what was their name? Tozans.
You want to hear about them?
Yes.
Well, I was a young lad, a young dog, do-or-die Tory. I was on this great expedition into the interior of Africa. Oh, Queen Ibanda, such luxuries, such sights, such beauties and transports of the flesh.
Yes.
Just like you, here, before this fire. We arrived at the land of this far distant tribe, the Tozans. They welcomed us. All their royal family wore masks, wicker masks, so I never saw one of them. Sat in a circle with the queen, an old crone in their midst. I made proposals to purchase some of the lowlier members of the tribe, import them to civilization. Whigs do it all the time, work a bloody fortune. But they were not interested.
No.
But there was this young prince.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty, but vain, empty-headed. Felt he'd been cheated of the throne. I worked on him secretly, offered him wealth. Beads. Till we hatched this plot together, a capital plot, seized 50 of them, raced for the coast, set sail before the old mask crone or any of her family could catch us.
Put your hand on my breast, now.
Oh, very well.
Take your clothes off. I'll take off mine.
Things happen as fast here as they did in Africa.
A tall, dark figure at the end of the passage, tapping a leather heel upon the floor. So hot, close in here. He turns, his scabbard catching the curtain hanging in front of the door he guards. McKendrick! What is behind that door? Figure approaches. He moves a little way off, converses, but always is conscious of that door at his back. What lies behind it? Two men hurry up. Matter of some urgency. Perhaps they spotted my men. This time he moves a good 5 paces off. Got all the space I need. I'm past them, in behind the curtain before he turns back. I open the door a fraction. Voices.
I'm well aware.
Whose?
Oh, Ibanda, what it is to be home again, against your soft, sweet young flesh. What have I missed all these years?
Take my hand.
Yes.
Put it here.
Oh, yes.
Put it here.
Yes.
Put it here.
What is it?
It's hot and fiery and warm.
It's cold and dark. Sharp.
It's me.
No, it isn't. It's a knife.
It is me. Feeling in your bowels.
Ah!
Feeling across your ribs.
You cut me!
Lingering slow and gentle across your throat.
Who are you?
Divine vengeance. The vengeance of my grandmother, the old crone in the mask, whose loved ones and grandchildren you stole, fled with across Africa.
And then, on that fatal shore, you took the young prince whose confidence you had so betrayed. My brother took him and held him as now I hold you, and cut his sweet, tender throat from ear to ear.
It wasn't like that. I swear!
Speak all you want. You have only a short time to live.
You like to be dark.
I listened from behind the door.
Don't you? The darker. The more hidden you are, the more power you give me.
Smith. Damn you. Hobbiday Smith's voice. But who is the other?
Those I represent. The gentleman.
Gentleman?
Of substance, meat, power. What else is a gentleman? Require of you certain accommodations, legislations.
Accommodations?
At this moment, agents of mine are working, solving one of your little problems.
I'm well aware of that.
All we ask in return are legal adjustments, the easing of certain financial restraints.
Our government hangs criminals. Every week, thousands of the poor die for stealing handkerchiefs, rings, baubles. But you can...
We are haughty. Great. We represent mighty interests.
You're ugly. You're mad.
Then I'm a mirror. Agree to my terms, or what was dark might suddenly become light.
I have no choice.
You have no choice.
What do you want? I have drinks for the two gentlemen inside.
Oh, dear.
Come, I'll show you to the room.
I have no choice. Draw my sword. Throw open the door. Slam it shut behind me. Lock it. Hobbiday Smith and...
What in damnation do you want?
Sir Robert Walpole, Prime Minister of England. Across the room, out a side door, down a passage. Before McKendrick
is down
the door, follows me, bellowing out alarms. Through a pantry.
Stop that man!
Up another passage towards the back. Back door, back door! Soldier facing the wrong way. Before he can turn, I send him sprawling. Out across the courtyard. Shinning up the wall. I cut through thick, dark alleyways. Passages where horsemen come. Pretty soon, only one pair of footsteps following. Blank wall, 20 feet high. A blind alley. I turned. There's McKendrick. A narrow, dark courtyard about.
So, you intrude on my plans.
Makes a change.
I am the finest swordsman in England.
A backstreet assassin. That's what I heard.
Stab and feint across the yard. Thrusting. Jabbing. I drive. He parries. Misses. Turns, but I turn faster. He faces my sword. Grins.
Very good, Captain Reynolds.
For 1 second, I let my guard drop. Grin back. In treachery, twisting, dripping, tumbling me. I stare up the length of his sword.
A smile is a foolish thing to trade your life on, Captain. Go on. Kill me. Your meat's more valuable on the hoof. Up.
After what I've witnessed?
You'll witness worse.
A thunderstorm starts to break to the west of London. Over the hills of Hampstead, lightning flashes. McKendrick and his men push me through the London streets, hands tied behind my back. Lady Spanswick's. Who opens the door? Queen Ibanda. We parade up the great staircase to the ballroom. On the floor, pink and naked like a fresh-killed piglet, my Lord Shelbourne, throat cut. I look at Queen Ibanda. She looks at me.
It was necessary. A matter of honor.
Honor?
I found my brother after Shelbourne's boat sailed, lying on the shore just like this. I, a goddess, demanded justice.
And Sir Robert Walpole's government, famed for its sensitivity to divine request, granted you all assistance?
The name you seek, Captain, is Smith.
Hobaday Smith.
How does he fit into this?
Smith was a slaver out of Bristol before he took up his present trade. He was the sea captain, picked up Shelburne and his slaves off the African coast. He heard of Queen Evander's thirst for revenge.
And why? Why should he want to be so helpful?
Well, over the last few years, the slave trade and smuggling have become central to our economy.
So I hear.
A third of all finance through the City of London is from smuggling, and a third from slavery. Now, that only leaves one third for poor, honest manufacturing. Thousands of jobs, the well-being of millions, rest on this reality. But people refuse to face it.
You mean people refuse to accept that their country should be at the mercy of cutthroats and villains? That the thousands of poor thrown from their land and homes by your policies should be persecuted and harried off the face of the earth, wrecked and broken on your gin?
I'm not talking anything as emotional or vulgar. I'm talking simple politics.
Whigs and Tories.
The Whigs are prepared to face these realities. Not in public, of course, but in private.
Gently in private.
The Tories, through rival vested interests, are not.
So Shelbourne must die.
But the Tory majority depends on him. You remove him and the rotten boroughs and bought politicians he controls, and balances will shift within Parliament. Then laws can be changed, financial regulations eased, so that new economic realities facing this nation might be dealt with.
Where do I fit in?
Well, Queen Evander wished vengeance on Lord Shelbourne. Your affection for Lord Shelbourne's wife, Lady Anna, is not unknown.
Oh, no.
Queen Evander looks at me.
A shabby little crime of lust and jealousy. All that was needed was you to travel from Somerset to London.
Then why in God's name did you shoot at me?
To encourage you.
You almost kill me.
Yeah, a terrible shot. I was aiming for your sergeant. I wanted to make sure you kept pursuing me all the way to here.
I didn't need any encouragement.
This event now over, Queen Evander will travel quietly back to Somerset. You have that arranged?
I do, through Mr. Smith.
Mr. Smith.
No blame or suspicion attaches to anyone, least of all the Prime Minister. You will be discovered here, killed in a deadly struggle with Lord Shelbourne. The details of your debauch with Lady Anna will be published.
Queen Evander, you feel proud of this?
Justice has been done.
But she no longer looks at me, rubs one foot against the other.
So, you return to Africa, address a convocation of all your gods in the sky, tell them what you've accomplished. Oh, murdered another warrior. Not as young as the others, but twice as stupid.
Keep quiet.
Fine upright trade, a ruler. All it seems to consist of is devising new ways of butchering subjects. I tell you, not one of your young men, wound in your arms, white eyes darting back and forth in agony as they waited their end, not one can you have treated as cruelly, as barbarously as you have treated me. But at least, thank God, I never had the humiliation of having to crawl into your bed.
There's no point talking to her. She lives in a different universe. No more understands you than the sun understands the moon.
Still hasn't taken her eyes off me. Stares back at me, horrified. McKendrick weasels on, describing manic glands in ever more frenzied detail. I stare back at her. The rabbit stares back into the eyes of the wolf. But those gray eyes of eternity are slipping. A thousand years of God's ship are shifting, sliding. A shiver runs up and down her body. She turns her eyes away, can look no longer.
What's going to happen to my men?
All dispatched back to Somerset, post haste. Ordered not to ask questions.
Still, I watch her. Something in her has changed.
After we've gone, my man here will kill you.
She touches a knife hung from her belt. Your body will be found next to my Lord Shelburne's.
Very quietly, slips the knife from her belt, slides it beneath a cushion on the settle.
Well, we must leave. Myself to report my success, Queen Ebanda to return home.
Goodbye, Queen Ebanda. Good fortune in Africa.
Thank you, Captain Reynolds.
Goodbye, Reynolds. Pity our swordsmanship was never put to a true test. To your work, Haskins.
Sir. They depart. Haskins pushes me onto the settle.
Anything to say, then? Haskins?
Yeah. Death has no voice.
He's spotted a decanter of port on a side table. Gone over to whet his appetite for his work. I wriggle across the sofa, grip the knife, try to saw at the rope round my wrists. He's coming back, decanter in hand, eyeing me as he decides precise details of execution. I grin foolishly back. I don't have time to cut the rope. I rise to face him.
Never meet death sitting down.
Clumsily holding the knife in my hands, tied behind my back.
Meet it any damn way you like.
He approaches. Suddenly I am forward. Push him in the stomach with my stomach. Stumbles back, a bit puzzled. Victims don't usually want party games. Comes forward more strongly. I kick him in the groin. Now he's angry. Wants to knock me down, work me over before he kills me. To his blind rush, at the last second, I turn right round. My held knife thumps into his belly. No, knife rips from belly to breast. I stay bent over till he dies, flapping on my back. At last, cut my bonds with his knife. I'm away from that house, out into the courtyard. Wild lightning, crashes of thunder. Then, through the chaos, box steady in the saddle of a rearing horse, leading another, my Queen Ebanda. We gallop out of London, out into the night.
Why? Save me.
I could not see you suffer. Besides
what?
In this time we've been together, I don't know. I felt...
Yes?
Feelings. Have you felt feelings for me?
Yes. Don't ask me why.
I do ask why. Please, tell me.
I am human, as you are. You are no goddess. My flesh has been cold for too long. It wants shelter. It wants warmth.
Yes. What you say is true. I have had to come to this cold moonland to find warmth. Kiss me.
The sun comes up in a Berkshire wood. A few yards to our left is the Ridgeway Road to Somerset.
What will we do? Already a hue and cry has been raised for me.
You are coming to Africa.
To Africa?
Yes. You and I shall reign. What rulers we shall be. The two of us shall raise a generation of warriors such as
no.
They were. Yes. Think. You will not be allowed to live here.
No.
A boat awaits us on the Somerset beach.
No.
Why?
Because justice must be done.
They'll kill you.
Who do you meet on that beach?
Hobbardate me.
Hobbardate Smith. I get to that breach. Arrest him. He'll be brought to trial. At that trial...
They will not let you speak at that trial.
Not even Sir Robert Walpole can stop the courts of England. We'll ride at night to Somerset.
You and me.
You and me.
I'll rip my way into your soul. Tear and gouge it with my love. Rip out your cold, foolish heart. Warm it, cradle it against mine. Till all is hot and handsome about you once more. And we shall live in joy and happiness under that midday sun, with the lions roaring and the eagles wheeling, our children playing all about our feet, sturdy, laughing, royal. Oh, you'll dance.
I won't.
I'll cut ribbons in the soles of your feet and stuff them with the hottest pepper. You'll dance all through the day and all through the night.
I haven't done that in 20 years.
I know. But I shall change you. On the road, look.
Prisoners.
200-300. All chained together. Arrested for some petty theft. Sentenced to work as slaves in the colonies. All in grey, I watch them shuffle past. Hollow-eyed. Old men, women, young children. The fruit, the joy of this country. These hills and valleys and fields have raised.
Evander.
Tom.
I cannot turn my back on this. The men who drive these people, they're the same as steal yours. Drive them to the same plantations in America, and soon shall drive the whole world. They must be stopped.
I'll burn you. I'll burn you. I'll light such fires of love in you that every bone and muscle in you shall be consumed. And we shall become air, pure air. Pass up into those blue, blue skies and be alone, swirling about the sun and moon and planets.
Whatever happens, we need a place to hide. Got it. But it presents difficulties.
Jack. Jack. Tom? What are you doing here?
Jack, listen.
There's been the most dreadful news from London, saying you killed my father. I don't believe it. Mother doesn't believe it. Not one of us down here believes it.
You're right, Jack. I didn't kill him. I must see your mother.
Right.
But secretly, Jack, with the utmost secrecy.
Trust me. Tom.
Listen.
What happened?
You know that James is dead.
I pray for his soul. I never loved him, but I pray for his soul. And I shall miss him.
I did not kill him.
Oh, thank God for that, Tom.
There was a plot, a political plot by Walpole. I am the scapegoat, but there is more.
Yes.
Queen Ebanda there. She killed your husband. In Africa many years ago, he killed her brother, stole half her tribe into slavery. As queen of her tribe, she felt it a duty.
Why are you with her?
Because, Emma, I love her. I love you, but our love has always been of the spirit. Her I love like life, like earth, like all the things that could never be between us. I know I ask you an awful, impossible thing.
It is not awful, impossible. I love you. Love makes all things possible. As you know, or you would not have come here. Queen Evander.
Lady Nile.
Welcome once more to my house. My children's house. I have a special, secret place. Where the two of you might hide.
We can only stay a few hours. We must be on our way to Somerset.
Riders have been searching all over for you.
detachments of yeomanry. Bills posted in every town.
Several times we were almost caught.
You look as if you've been through every ditch and hedge in the country.
The band has taken a bath. I will, in a moment.
I've got fresh clothes for you. Pull the sheet tight.
These are beautiful bedclothes. Whitest linen.
Yes.
This summer house, I...
You don't know it, do you? I had it built. All this linen and finery bought for our wedding night. Now I prepare it for...
Anna.
Oh, Tom. I am glad it will be used by you with the person you love. Because it could never be used by us.
Anna leaves. Ibanda returns to the summer house. She lies upon the bed, black against white. I, pink fleshed, sit beside her. Look at each other.
We should not make love here. It is not right. There will be other places.
You're right.
Should we go?
We've been fugitives 3 days and nights. Haven't slept or eaten. Do we go back out into a world where people want to kill us? Or stay here, eat, sleep, leave when dark shields us?
We stay here.
We wolf the hot bread, strong beer. Then, naked as two fawns, climb into bed. Exchange one kiss. Then, chaste as two sisters snuggling, fall into the deepest, most God-loving sleep I've ever known. When we wake, we dress in clean, ordinary clothes. Ibanda changes from her African dress. Then, up onto the downs, the remote trackways and ridgeways of Wiltshire. We are not alone. Apart from the poor, wandering in herds and groups, constantly to and fro ride armed men, militia, searching for us. Morning, in a ditch. No horizons anywhere, only blue sky above us.
Your plan, it won't work.
It will. Smith will be on that beach to greet you. I arrest him. Demand in court to be put on trial for the murder of 6 souls. They must then do something. At his trial, I will be free to speak the truth.
They let you live that long?
I suggest I let it go on. Look. What? Line of soldiers. Get back along with it.
Oh.
What?
More soldiers cutting us off.
Nowhere to go. 2 lines of soldiers approaching each other. We in the center. There is nothing. Nothing. Except a line of paupers straggling along the road.
Nepal! We could join Nepal.
The poor. They'd betray us.
They wouldn't.
They would.
We have no choice. We must trust them. Come!
We scramble from the ditch. Join them. For 1 second, their leader eyes us. Then his eyes drop back on the road ahead of him. I, who have always ridden above, look down on the poor. I'm now one of them. We shuffle on. To the line of soldiers.
Come along, then. Come along. Any of you seen this fugitive, then? It's Captain Reynolds. Come on, speak up.
Sullen silence is the only reply.
Come on, then. Move on.
He sits and stares as one by one we move to pass him.
Hang on. Hang on. What's this?
He's looking at me.
Where'd you get these clothes, then? They ain't good, but they ain't rags. And who's this black bitch you got with you?
Corporal!
The leader of the beggars is at my shoulder.
These two have been with us since Southampton. He got his clothes off a Frenchie in the dock.
Frenchie, eh?
Yeah. Gave him a little tap. Got the woman, too.
Oh, the woman, too. After a little tap. On your way, then, friend. Tap a few more Frenchies when you get the chance.
We walk on, beneath blue skies, free men.
Thank you for saving us. Tell him,
one soul to another. I'm Watson Pig of this noble band.
A strange, tall man in rags, eyes burning, hair awry.
You're Captain Reynolds.
Do you know me?
We all know you. The second you popped out of that ditch.
I've a reward on my head.
A great reward. These rich men, Walpole, the Whigs, one you desperate back. Considerable pleasure to poor men, watching rich men not able to get what they want. Stick by us. No one notices the poor. We pass invisible through this kingdom.
Pass invisible through this kingdom we did. After 2 days, our band came to a place upon the downs, remote, windswept. There was a circle of immense stones, a temple, and all about the earthworks and barrows of some ancient dynasty.
What is this place?
Who knows?
Holy. The sacred place of England. Still center of turning madness, where men rule themselves.
I know such a place.
Tonight, we have our midsummer revel. You're welcome.
Yes. Yes.
More and more arrive. Beggars, vagrants, gypsies, gaily clothed, hung with flowers and blossom and greenery. Chains of women, men and children dancing, bowing, laughing. And as darkness falls, one by one, the stars blink out and shine.
Look, look above. Your star and my star joining.
As the spirals and circles of men wind and climb, so above, the great fiery crosses and constellations start to wheel and tumult in the sky. Great dragons and lust and energy blaze and rocket back and forth as faster and faster we dance. Old people, young, turning, flailing. Suddenly, Evanda and I are all alone. Still. Unique. Model and cast. A measure of all humanity. We can create anything with the frenzy and glory of our limbs, can hod up great empires and creations and infinities by our love.
You are light, pure, absolute light.
We become gods. Thingness in no thingness, solute in absolute, light in dark, dance in death. Next morning, slightly unsteady, Evander and I set off Somerset ways. A love, a gentleness between us.
You know I am carrying your son, cradled in my flesh. I can feel him.
And gradually, the sun spreads gentle over a new world, bringing green and blue and light to the land.
You realize, don't you?
What?
That now you must come to Africa with your son. Raise him with me. You realize, don't you?
Sergeant.
Where do you think Captain Reynolds is?
We know he isn't captured.
Thank God.
If I know him, he'll be coming home to this coast. We must keep our eyes open.
What about our new captain?
Huh. We can deal with him. Drunken sot. We look out for Captain Reynolds. Help him if we can. Come on.
Again, the sound of waves on Western Beach.
Another shore. Another party.
All around us, darkness. Waiting for the dawn. Hiding in rocks at the top of the beach.
You're not coming? To all that love and warmth and sunshine with your son? You're not coming?
No. I stay in this cold, dark land for justice. For my people. For your people.
I go down on the beach. Speak to Snake. Put him at his ease. He signals. The dinghy comes from the ship. Before it lands, you come out from these rocks. Arrest him. I wish you farewell. Climb in the boat. You march off to justice and even your own death.
Yes.
She will not touch me. A cold fury grips her. Light in the east. In the roads, a mile offshore, a great East Indiaman ready for sea. And on the strand before us, a figure, waiting.
The captain must be about here somewhere. Western Beach. There's enough other troops around. And I've seen that vulture MacKendrick hovering with his men. Come on!
She strides down onto the shore. They talk a while. He signals to the ship. Dinghy sets out. Time for me to go. Check my sword. Step onto the beach. Start to scrunch across the shingle the 200 yards toward. It's strange. As though the two figures on the shore had suddenly gone crazy. Throwing arms here and there, gesticulating. Perhaps he realizes betrayal. Hasten my steps. Seems to have developed a frenzy, a blur between them. Outrage and comic poses like two chickens fighting. The flash of steel, the slow motion cartwheeling of... My God! An arm. Stop it!
Stop!
His body flying apart as he bound his sword havoc through the air till all about him on the shore lie gobbets and pieces of his limbs and body.
What the hell?
Two things I have to say.
I look at Smith's head, severed on the shingle. My hands.
Yes. This man, this stench of guts and rotten limbs was the man murdered my brother on that shore all those years ago. Shelbourne told me as he died. Second, that I was prepared to overlook so you could be safely got from this country, that we might live together in Africa, raise our children. But you would not agree. You had to be the great man, a noble man. Take him to court. Take this to court.
There still must be a way.
There is no way. Here comes the boat. You must come to Africa.
No!
But what can I do? What can I? Then, suddenly, on the headland, a tall horseman. Others about him. A Kendrick. They've seen me. Start to gallop down.
A boat is here. Get in the boat.
No. I can do it. You get in the boat. I stay. I'll be put on trial. I'll speak then. Even if they deny me the court, I have every Englishman's right to speak my mind freely at length upon the scaffold. Then they shall know.
McKendrick's group is approaching.
Get in the boat, Evander. I am not coming.
Get in with me. Please. I, a queen, a god, beg you.
Raise him well, our child, with love. And have lots of other children, Evander.
Come on, you fool, you're mad.
Far away, boatman, to the ship.
Tom!
Hurry!
Yes, sir. Tom!
We have loved, Evander. That is the only thing that matters. We have loved.
But McKendrick's hyenas are unhorsed, are penning me in a tight semicircle.
Game's up, McKendrick. There lies one of your two arch-conspirators, von Schurk.
Conspirators? Only one man can prove that.
and he stands at the point of our swords. I have my sword, McKendrick, if you're brave enough to face it. Swords down, man! You failed, McKendrick, all your ambition. I stop this.
No elegant academy of swordsmanship. Awful butchering swipes and slashes. Animal grunts. Butts and barges. This time it is I who trip. Drop it. Tease. Never say good cannot learn in its fight against evil. Oh, that timeless frustration rising. Evander's boat has reached the ship. The ship starts to raise its sails. An end to this pantomime.
They tell me, you bugger papists and your wife sleep with a Frenchman.
The absurd, half-mad creature runs at me, sword upraised. I transfix him on mine. Pull it out. Face the others. Evander's ship starts to move.
Right. You men?
They are circling me. My back to the sea. I must assert command.
Right. You men.
But something I had not counted on. These men are not soldiers.
I am a captain.
One approaches, twitchy with upset, uncertain passions.
Get back!
Spits, so it lands on my cheek. All of them laugh. Start to move in.
Look! Down there! On the beach!
He's surrounded!
By McKendrick's animals! Come on! Quick! Look!
And at the center, fending off their blows. And then one blow lands, and another. And fight, and shout, and bawl the louder. But it is no good. I am not thinking as I did. Great wheels and gashes of light appearing where once there had been dark flesh. But I know that ship is underway. Great roaring sound. I look out to see my troop starting to hack their way through a circle of ravening men. I must stay alive. I alone have proven that my men are further, further away. The chief wolf beside me, raising his sword, stare out to sea. Out into the light, the blinding light of early morning sun. I see the ship bearing my wife, my child, sails full and pregnant, making her voyage for.
In Contraband by John Fletcher, Captain Tom Reynolds was played by John Nettles, and Ibanda by Adjoa Ando. The sergeant was Stephen Tomlin, Vigors David Stevens, and Bone David Holt. McKendrick was John Telfer, Lord Shelbourne Roger Hume, Anna Shelbourne Janet Dale, and Jack Richard Pierce. Lady Spanswick was Judy Bridgeland, Walpole Simon Carter, and Smith Jerry Hinks. Other parts were played by Andy Hockley, Jonathan Wyatt, Jonathan Milton, Bethan Ganjavi, Joe Fletcher, and Zoe Ganjavi. The music was composed and performed by Martin Alcock with Simon Nicol, and the play was directed at Pebble Mill by Nigel Bryant.